We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, welcome back. The chip in my head says that my name is Matt Harvey, and that this apparently is the bearer of weird news. I'd like to thank you for returning, for giving us another chance, and for listening. I hope you're spending your time well. I do have, just quickly before we start, some upcoming shows in the Melbourne Fringe Festival. They are going to be of the purely digital nature. It's going to be every day of the Fringe Festival. I'll be doing my storytelling show. I got bit by a monkey once. It's pre-recorded from in the before times. So there will be the sense of an audience. If you don't want to just be watching me sitting in a room somewhere, like everything else has been recently, then you can check that out and get the feeling of an audience again. And there will also be a couple of runs of my news quiz show, Just for Funny, which is a little bit silly, a little bit fun, hopefully a lot of fun. And you guys should totally check that out. They're going to be up online. They're going to be very cheap. I haven't quite nailed down the prices yet, but they're going to be very, very cheap because I understand that people are going through some pretty hard times and really could just use with some cheap laughs. But let's get into it. I will once again be the bearer of weird news. Just going to start us off with a quick rundown of some of the stories we don't have more time to get into. As we draw closer to the end of the year and the end of the AFL season, it seems as Melbourne is still a bit of a mess and Queensland will be getting the grand final. While initially disappointed, the disappointment was short-lived when Victorians learned that they're still getting the public holiday. A team of physicists believe that they've found a way to bring a science fiction staple to life. According to new research, wormholes that are both large and stable enough for humans to traverse should be possible to create. Or at least, they desperately hope so, because things are getting real weird here and we need to get somewhere fast. Police have found 30 kilos of ice hidden in an ice cream maker. Now we just need 30 kilos of cream and we've got ourselves a party. Clive Palmer says he started his defamation action against WA Premier Mark McGowan after he refused to apologise for statements that allegedly brought him into hatred, ridicule and contempt, damaged his reputation and caused injury to his feelings. It's hard to imagine anyone doing more damage to Clive Palmer's reputation than Clive Palmer. After all, he actively chose the running slogan, Make Australia Great. I do wonder when he will be bringing a defamation suit against himself for damaging his own reputation by refusing to pay his nickel mine workers back pay, then forcing them to prove that they deserve to be paid rather than, say, use the company records to see who worked there. Maybe his former employees should get together and put together a class action claiming that he injured their feelings. After all, nearly starving and going homeless would make me feel pretty sad. Seems the moon is popular again, with at least 10 missions by a half dozen nations scheduled before the end of 2021. I can't say that's a big surprise. Seems people are desperate and willing to do anything to get out of the house at the moment. In April of this year, US President Donald Trump signed an executive order on the use of off-Earth resources, which made clear its government stance toward mining the moon and other celestial bodies. He is thrilled at the idea of a limitless source of cheese. This has prompted a discussion about whether the moon should be granted legal personhood, which would give it the right to enter into contracts, own property, and sue other persons. Given we are looking at the possibility of another 4 years of Trump, the ability to sue someone might come in handy. He isn't exactly known for seeking permission, if you follow.
Grab him by the pussy.
But as he is a self-proclaimed star,
and when you're a star, they let you do it,
he best be careful, as they will mine him for resources. So we will seek him out if ever we run out of hot air. If the idea of personhood for a rock devoid of any intelligent life littered by junk, which hasn't been relevant for decades, confuses you, just remember, News Corp also has personhood. Billion-dollar company that pays less tax than you, Amazon, has recently been caught deleting listings for two job openings whose duties included tracking labor organizing threats against the company. This is the worst Amazon original production. A plucky group of detectives and lawyers team up to save a billionaire class from workers wanting to eat and afford rent. Law and Order, Union's Victim Unit. Amazon, ever the unstoppable force, won't let a little thing like public outcry stop them from their dreams of replacing all factory rats with functioning drones, as they have employed the former NSA boss who was in charge when Edward Snowden whistleblew on them. I mean, this is a logical choice for Amazon, as they have yet to build their first factory on the moon, eschewing those pesky labor laws in space. No one can hear you attempt to unionize. The Morrison government is signaling it is proceeding with planned cuts to income support this month, despite the latest national accounts confirming that Australia is in a recession for the first time in nearly 30 years. How can we expect to open the country by Christmas if nobody is desperate enough to work in a pandemic? Think about it, people. It's simple economics. This year, it'll be a very recession-y Christmas.
If today you said to me, Michael, well, there's only 3 million employees who are covered, you know, it was half what we expected. In that case, I'd be saying to you, yeah, look, there's more of a likelihood of wholesale changes.
And they can't be expected to support the poor. It's not like they have a $60 billion surplus created by incompetence that we could take advantage of.
Late on Thursday, the Treasury Department fessed up to an extraordinary bungle. It told the Treasurer there weren't 6.5 million Australians receiving JobKeeper payments. There were only around 3 million.
Meaning the estimated cost of the scheme is slashed by $60 billion to $70 billion.
Unless you have a sports team and a marginal seat that the Liberals really need. After all, as the PM said, the best form of welfare is a sports grant. An analysis of financial reports of 290 entities has found that at least 25 companies have paid bonuses worth a combined $24.3 million to their executives after claiming JobKeeper subsidies. I mean, this is hardly a surprise. It's super easy to make profits when the government is paying all your wages and staff are working twice as much as they used to with no penalty rates. You know, more of these young people should just be happy that they have a job that will be fulfilling their serfdom. A Melbourne anti-lockdown protest was unsurprisingly organised by a former Clive Palmer United Australia Party candidate, Tony Pecora. Leave it up to a United Australia candidate to be responsible for something the majority of Australians aren't interested in. A shooting victim in Lewisham has been linked to a secret fight club. Seems like the first rule of that fight club should have been no guns. Extinction Rebellion held a sit-in blocking Murdoch press printers in the UK. These presses print the Rupert Murdoch-owned News Corp titles including The Sun, The Times, The Sun on Sunday, The Sunday Times, and The Scottish Sun. They also print The Daily Telegraph, The Sunday Telegraph, The Daily Mail, and The Mail on Sunday, and The London Evening Standard. Home Secretary Priti Patel tweeted that the overnight action of Extinction Rebellion was an attack on democracy, which I think is the official family motto of the Murdoch family. Officers said that 50 people had been arrested on suspicion of causing a public nuisance, which I think we all know is actually the official News Corp slogan. The Sun tweeted to report copies of the paper would be delayed, arriving at newsagents, adding that the blockade was an attack on all the free press. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch to call the Murdoch free press. It's the same way that the mouth of Sauron is free to live his life until he is needed to spew the propaganda of the all-seeing eye. In response to the action, the UK Prime Minister and living avatar of the English concept of bumbling befuddlement, Boris Johnson, made a report to review how the group is classified in law as an organised crime group. Now, I know the British are known for playing word games, but this seems to be stretching the definition a little here. While the things they do certainly are illegal and are organised in advance, it's not like they're going to show up with a horse's head in your bed. They'd more likely be at the farm trying to free the horse from the farm so that it dies, adjusting to a life in the wild it was not raised to know. Bin Laden's porn stash is the subject of a new documentary. Theory is that he was sent secret messages via the porn. Most likely the messages were, hey, don't come in here, I'm busy. a battery-free Game Boy has been created that is powered entirely by the force of mashing buttons. Seems we have finally found the ultimate transition energy source that will get us away from coal. We will be the first city entirely powered by people losing at Smash Brothers. As Queensland attempts to open up in the face of fluctuating COVID-19 cases, new regulations are in question as they prohibit wedding guests from dancing, but allow group sex at approved swinger clubs and adult parties. Wedding entertainer Nick Edser has fronted the battle, preparing his upcoming script about a wedding entertainer who just broke up with his partner in a small state where dancing was banned. I mean, it's still in the drafting stage. He's got a lot to figure out. But rather than imposing harsher restrictions on sex-related activities, Nick says, we just need to have that conversation and explore the options. But I suspect his campaign to turn more weddings into swingers parties will be met with a lot of resistance. Hey, people have different wants and needs. After all, it's relative. Willy Wonka ripoff and Jelly Belly Jelly Bean factory owner David Klein is giving away his factory to one winner. The competition costs $49.99 to enter, which means Charlie wouldn't be able to enter to compete, taking most of the warmth out of the story. And weirdly, there is this limit on no more than 3 people per bed. Sorry, Grandpa Joe. The mysterious candy factory is the ultimate prize, and with it comes full ownership of the building and a candy making course at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You will major in candy making and you will minor in ironic punishments and musicals. Japan, land of the rising mascot, has launched a new anti-coronavirus mascot, Coronin the Cat. It's a bold stance for a government to take, as it does put them directly at odds with Brazil, India, and the United States as seemingly pro-coronavirus countries. This isn't the first mascot Japan has made for the situation. There is Shinjuku Awana, the hand-washing bubble superhero, and Quoran, the quarantine mascot. Because we have been conditioned from a young age to take all of our instructions from creatures wearing the skin of fictional creatures around them. Coronin is doing good work, but will inevitably, tragically, die when the coronavirus does. So giving it a name would just make it harder when it comes time to let it go. Scott Morrison has avoided sports rorts questions, but is happy to comment on Victoria, calling the roadmap a last case scenario. This was the official slogan that Morrison campaigned on during his party's backstabbing of their previous leader, Malcolm Turnbull. Scammers are emailing people claiming that they owe fines for violating quarantine. According to my very loud neighbour, these scammers are called Victoria Police, and apparently he has some information about 5G I really need to hear, so I'm very excited to have that conversation. In fact, I'm very excited to have any conversation at the moment. On to our bigger stories now. Let's start off with kicking people while they're locked down news. Reality show star and Senator Pauline Hanson had a unique idea during the recent Melbourne Tower lockdown. She sent the imprisoned quarantiners One Nation stubby holders. The Sydney Morning Herald and Age reported that the stubby holders pictured Hanson with the words, "I've got the guts to say what you're thinking." The slogan that she has taken to describe her almost juggernaut approach to making unsightly public statements. Just put your head down and run in a straight line. The stubby holders were reportedly accompanied by a note that said, "No hard feelings," a reference to the fact that earlier that week, Hanson had made inflammatory and widely condemned remarks labelling the tenants drug addicts and alcoholics. So she probably thought she was doing them a favour with the stubby holder, really. Word is, the next mail package she's going to send will contain a One Nation branded rubber tube and needle. However, a debate has broken out, unsurprisingly, not over the ridiculousness of the choice, but about the 114 parcels being intercepted by the council while it was managing the week-long lockdown of some 3,000 people. The major consequence of this being now the group noun for quarantine persons is a suppression of quarantinees. Officials overseeing the distribution of food, medical supplies, and mail at Canning Street, North Melbourne, opened one parcel addressed to the householder of an unoccupied flat and decided against distributing the stubby holders, saying the paraphernalia would inflame what was already an emotional tinderbox within the tower. Emotional tinderbox is the slogan that One Nation is testing for the next election. However, AusPost Chief Executive Christine Holgate threatened to call police unless the City of Melbourne delivered more than 100 of Pauline Hanson's One Nation branded stubby holders to every apartment. I am sure they didn't need to call the police as they were right outside the building the whole time. And let's be honest, this probably has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that at the same time, Australia Post was attempting to win over One Nation's vote to ensure a temporary relaxation in daily postal services. Couldn't be anything to do with that, I'm sure. I can't see how these things would be in any way related. Politics isn't some sort of cesspool of back scratched, monies exchanged, and favours owed. The statement by Australia Post claims, Australia Post takes its obligation to deliver mail as addressed seriously. Which, given I had a delivery go to Canada before arriving in my home in Australia, I seriously question their commitment. Liberal Party councillor Philip Liu says Melbourne tenants should have a choice over receiving distressing mail from Pauline Hanson, also read any mail from Pauline Hanson. I would extend that to include interviews, public statements, publicity stunts, and reality TV appearances. The only distressing news these guys should be receiving is his party's decision to cut their pandemic support payment. And that is entirely a Liberal Party piece of mail. Councillor Philip Liu applauded the decision to provide a barrier between the mail and the residents, given its potential to cause distress and traumatise the tenants. But Liu said he warned the council it was wrong not to give the residents a choice over whether to receive mail. As such, he will be providing tenants with stickers which proclaim no racist propaganda or yes racist propaganda to put on their mailbox. Liu said, "We should have said we believe this is distressing content in here and notified them. As the buildings were on strict lockdown, with nearly nobody going in or out of the building and social distancing measures combined with masks make communication a little hard. After all, it is hard to hear clearly when a cop is shouting at you to stand back or they will shoot you like a rabid bear or a freshly turned zombie when they're wearing a mask." I guess maybe a sticker that clearly labelled the materials not safe for a mental health breakdown would have diffused tensions. Liu went on to proclaim, "It should have been for the residents to decide, not council to decide." Which reminds me of the go-to defence of online trolls and racists, the "If you don't like it, don't read it." Leaving, as always, the hanging question, how could I know if I don't like it unless I read it first? Unless you want me to draw a broad stroke over you and your posts, painting them with a broad brush of racist, uninformed, misleading, and propaganda. The four horsemen of the internet. But your memes seem to shout a lot about needing to do research or open my mind, and by closing my mind to your posts, you come across as philosophically inconsistent. Surely you would want me to modify an old gem, never judge a meme by its sharer, or give memes a chance. It's as backwards as the statements it's being used to defend. On to patriotic fruit news. A Queensland strawberry grower, Bells Creek farmer Dee West, is calling on Australians to pick for their country. In a bid to stop fruit going to rot and to spark the dying embers of nationalism within the public, finishing with desperate calls to patriotism, an open-ended call and response of Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. As is tradition, I have left the adequate space for you to fill the response as you see fit. Be sure to go to the Bearer of Weird News website to check your options. From extreme patriotism to I'm moving to New Zealand if this country gets any more right-wing. To make it sound more exciting, Australians are being urged to go backpacking in their own backyard, meaning that they will be encountering all of the usual pitfalls of backpacking, cramped shared accommodations, your bunkmates hooking up and having semi-muted sex in a bunk across from you and then having a horrible breakup and struggling to avoid each other, dirty clothes, shared showers and toilets, limited access to sanitizer and hand soaps, which aren't great when you're off seeking yourself on a doomed venture to be better than your friends when you return, but certainly aren't acceptable during a global pandemic. Not to mention, the only accent you can pretend to have when you return is an Australian one. Sure, it'll be a little more rural, and you'll drop a few more cuss words, but that's all part of the charm. Miss West said, she was forced to abandon entire paddocks because she did not have enough workers to pick and pack produce. There was already a certain amount of people committed to be here for the season when this all unfolded. So next year is what we're worried about because there's no new people coming in to replace these people, the Bells Creek farmer said. Though, if the PM gets his way, the country will be open again by Christmas, ongoing pandemic be damned, so there should be plenty of opportunities to bring in workers, be they from other states or other countries. Miss West said that there was opportunities for young Australians to get out and learn about their own country, meet people and become more employable. You're just here for a brief time. You'll learn these great skills and then you'll take that experience and that improved person that you are to another job and you'll get a great job, she said. I've got to be honest with you, these skills aren't exactly transferable. Have you ever tried to apply for a job with a different point of sale system? They get real iffy about your ability to adapt. This one particular job, IBM was asking for 12 years experience in Kubernetes, a program that they themselves designed and built only 6 years ago, literally making anyone who hasn't invented time travel unable to get the job. Not to mention that the two people I know personally who went fruit picking to gain their second year visas would not recommend it. They are very much against the whole experience. As much as I don't want to doubt the word of Miss West, just seems she has a vested interest in getting people to pick her fruit. She says, we need you to get out there and have a go.
Have a go, you should get a go.
And be a real Australian. Love your country and get out and help us pick some food. Putting Miss West in alignment with one Pauline Henson on the matter.
We've got to say to Australians, get up off your backsides, go and start doing the work. If you don't, I'm sorry, the taxpayers out there have no obligation to keep you in the lifestyle that you want to become accustomed to for the rest of your life.
Which is generally not great. Here is Pauline Hanson as she claims to be friend of the working man. Here we see her supporting the working man by wielding her power over Parliament to possibly hold back superannuation rises for workers, attempting to get transgender children taken from their parents, charging taxpayers for a three-day taxpayer-funded spending spree, refusing to support a raise to the regular job seeker payment and suggesting new recipients be kicked off after 2 years if they can't find a job, and blaming nose rings and tattoos for unemployment. With friends like these, who needs enemies? I can see the two of them teaming up to try and push a bill through Parliament where we will replace the idea of mandatory military service that Jackie Lambie keeps floating and make it mandatory fruit picking service. Especially if they want to keep this sweet, sweet JobKeeper lifestyle past that 2 year mark.
Would you like to know more?
Right, Pauline?
No, the whole thing is wrong and it stinks and I don't like it.
You don't like it? Well, that makes two of us then.
Would you like to know more?
I mean, really, who woke her from her wretched slumber by activating the white signal? She arose from her unholy slumber to claim that instead of bringing in workers from Vanuatu, we should be making unemployed Australians work the fields in order to earn their JobKeeper. You know, like indentured servants.
Would you like to know more?
She says, we've got to say to Australians, get up off your backsides, go and start doing the work, and if you don't, I'm sorry, the taxpayers out here have no obligation to keep you in the lifestyle that you have become accustomed to for the rest of your life. She said, having not worked most of this year on an outrageous parliamentary salary of $211,000 a year. I am curious what this lifestyle she thinks job seeker recipients are living it up in is. The one where we have to choose between food or rent? Most likely what we will see is this line of thinking will lead to a suggested pick for the dole scheme, as they are certainly planning on violently throwing welfare recipients back into the dark pit of starvation wages that is $40 a day. Look, I can't say it's a very appealing offer, as historically, with backpackers, there have been issues with things like, getting paid. Look, this may have been 4 years ago, but these things tend to stick in people's mind. Not to mention that the amount that they weren't paid was a promised $500 for 30 hours, putting it at $16 an hour, a full $1.70 under the 2016 minimum wage. And Australians don't need to travel all the way out to remote farms to experience wage theft. They can get that experience at their local supermarket. Oh, and hey, will you look at this? Here in WA, they are offering $3,800 for people willing to go out and pick fruit. But you know what? At least they're offering extra cash. In the Northern Territory, all they are offering is less debt. This enterprising Northern Territory farmer is already making like Robin Williams and seizing the day. Oh, fruit picker, my fruit picker. Suggesting students should get a hex reduction for taking on the arduous task of picking our fruit and veg, which will inevitably make for an army of art students desperate to knock down the 130% hex cost jump by getting it reduced by picking blueberries and then writing a series of dour monologues about it for the Fringe Festival. And you, loyal listeners, get to pick the name of that show from a list of pre-prepared plays, depending on your taste in theatre. Here is the list. The Banana Monologues. Much Ado About Picking. The Berry Orchard. The Pygmalion. An Actor Prepares to Pick Fruit. The Taming of the Dewberries. Who's Afraid of Virginia Wolfberry? Waiting for Avogadro. Uncle Banana. And Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead tired from picking fruit all day. Send your answers to the Northern Territory Government via shouting out your window at the vast emptiness of the void. A second proposal would see job seeker recipients be allowed to earn money from fruit picking without it impacting their job seeker payments. A proposal that sounds great on the surface, but according to seasoned backpacking fruit pickers, that shouldn't be very hard to achieve, with some backpackers receiving the kingly sum of $2.50 per hour for their backbreaking labour. If this is the only alternative to attending Serena Russo-style job application school, well, this is definitely a much less soul-crushing way to spend your day. On to stranded Australian news now. The federal government says some 25,000 Australians are awaiting the chance to return, but face lengthy delays due to the cap on the number of inbound passengers allowed to enter Australia each week. Australians stranded across the world attempting to return home have been met by government agencies who have told them that in order to get home, they will probably need to draw on their superannuation so that they can afford business class tickets home, as inbound passenger caps cause ticket prices to soar and people to be repeatedly bumped off overbooked flights, unless of course they're in business class. And look, at this point, you aren't going to have a future. What with the inevitable rise and climb of climate change, the lack of COVID vaccine, the destruction of wildlife leading to an inevitable Soylent Green society, or zombies, whichever you live longest to see. So why are you being so selfish with the few pennies that you have managed to scrape together in your years? Just throw it all in now, and remember the one time that you got to fly business class because the only other option was death in a foreign land. Who doesn't love a good travel story? On top of such marvellous ideas as rob from your future self and worry about being homeless later, really, why are you worrying? That is future you's problem. Australians are also told to go to...
We were told to get funds from our family. Can we borrow money?
Which, if their family had money, they wouldn't likely be on a working holiday. Working holidays are how most working class people get to know what the inside of an office on the other side of the world looks like for 8 months before rushing a quick trip into 9 local sites that will inevitably mesh into one memory because you didn't make the time to stretch it out. Unless, like the Buddha, they are slumming it for a few years to seek enlightenment. But the Buddha would have struggled to get recognition as an essential worker. Apparently, raconteur and preachy life coach aren't skills in high demand, ever. Alternatives offered up by the Australian Embassy were to seek...
And the only answer she could give me was like, maybe you have to go to a homeless shelter.
Or crowdfund, or as it is more commonly known in America, the healthcare system. Or to steal a loaf of bread, so that they can be deported to Australia as a prisoner, on a boat. At least that way, they'll have a home for 6 months, and who knows, by the time they get back to Australia, there might be a vaccine, and they'll be very good at sea shanties by the time they return. Sounds to me like we're going to have some sort of immigration trade-off for our respective upcoming fruit-picking seasons. But at least there, they'll have a home. Sure, it's a dingy little hostel on a farm where you are violating COVID restrictions, but it will give you a strong appreciation for that prisoner boat that they're going to put you on to get you shipped back to the colonies. And at this point, even if they were to get back, they would be forced to quarantine for 2 weeks in a hotel at their own expense. An expense, I think we have established, that they can't afford. Opposition leader in need of a better nickname, Anthony Elbow Albanese, has noted that the RAAF VIP fleet is largely sitting idle, and that Scott Morrison uses one of the fleet, and that can carry 100 passengers, and he wants to know, where the bloody hell are they? He also said, those who staff these planes, they need to get up their flying hours. If people aren't using the aircraft, they'll be flying around empty, which is, in my opinion, a very negative take on the whole thing. The planes might be chartered to fly emergency lobsters to China, Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, and the United Arab Emirates. Now, this seafood deal was worth $800 million, so maybe if Australia's farmers were interested in footing the bill to have our guys come home, maybe in exchange for a little bit of work after they pay for their own hotel quarantine, of course. After all, LPM likes to say,
chosen the topic of the best form of welfare, and it has the obvious answer is a job.
But Albo says that the federal government had ultimate responsibility to provide quarantine and bring home people safely, which flies in the face of the Liberal government's brave stance earlier this year when they said that they didn't think they had a duty of care to Australians. Part of the problem here is the restrictions on numbers going into hotel quarantine a week being limited. Though, if hotels or other options were to become available, they could open up the numbers. WA Premier and shoo-in for President of WA, if it ever secedes, Mark McGowan, has opened up the possibility of maybe opening up Rottnest Island as a new source of hosting returnees, if the numbers were to open up, becoming the cutest prison in Australia. While we are discussing hopeless Australians who need funding assistance, the Australian Associated Press has said it needs to consider crowdfunding. The Associated Press only recently found new life after it stopped being funded by the news groups who pay to keep it running, presumably because they were of the mindset, why pay for news sources to get information when they could just make up all their own stories and have nobody contradict them? Crowdfunding is an interesting choice, though, for a news organisation, given the reason they have no money in the first place is people refuse to pay for newspapers. On to unrealistic expectation news. Australia Post, the Australian government agency that has been keeping you sane for the last 5 months with little gifts that arrive later and later, so you eventually forget that you ordered them, so then its inevitable arrival is like a child receiving a gift on Christmas morning. You suspect something was happening, but you couldn't say for sure exactly what it was. The reason for the continued delays is that for the first time in its history, in April, it was granted temporary regulatory relief by the Morrison government, allowing it to slash delivery services in metropolitan areas, stretch interstate delivery times, and scrap its priority mail service in response to what it said was a pandemic-induced decline in letter volumes. This has caused massive delays in the delivery of vital parcels like medication, and let's be honest, some less vital parcels like yarn, on top of having less delivery days in an attempt to further cut costs. Mail carriers are starting later and so are not completing full routes. Chief Executive Christine Holgate said the Australia Post executives would be doing their share to combat rising costs associated with the COVID-19 pandemic, which in this instance comes in the form of cost-saving measure of asking staff to volunteer their own time and their own car to deliver packages on their mandated days off. It's genius, really. It will save them thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. I expect we'll see more of it in other industries. Certainly, they have been learning from the arts, specifically stand-up comedy, where desperate open micers are willing to sign up to work for free months in advance because they have a hot 5 minutes about dicks and just need to be heard. While staff wrestle with the complicated decision of working for free in exchange for days in lieu, when the reason you are being asked not to work is because of strict COVID restrictions, so where will they be working? Because it seems like there wouldn't be space for them to be working because of the restrictions. executives at Australia Post were looking down the difficult decision of whether or not to split $7 million in bonuses between themselves instead of, say, saving that money or, alternatively, using it to pay workers that they are asking to work for free. It's a complicated decision because even though the post office is a public service and not a business, so shouldn't have $7 million in profits to share as it should be spent on services, improvements and staff members, they seem to have taken to following the book of capitalism. And the book states, under the book of Bezos, 1126, if you can figure out how to get staff to volunteer to work for free, you deserve a bonus. And double it if you can get them to pee in bottles instead of taking toilet breaks. Man. And why shouldn't they? Ms. Holgate, Australia's highest paid civil servant with a fixed salary of $1.5 million, announced to staff in late March that senior management would take 20% pay cuts and waive their rights to bonuses. And who deserves a bonus more than someone who has taken a pay cut and denied a bonus? It is standard procedure in gift giving. You deny the thing that you want, and when it is offered again, you reluctantly accept the offer. And like most things which, when they get the public ear, cause a bit of a ruckus, when the public heard about this, they caused a bit of a ruckus. Public outrage seems to be the driver behind the flipping policy, but they want you to know these executives could still be granted bonuses because of a deferred incentive payment from the last financial year, which would be at about 18.75%, making her eligible for a $277,000 cash reward. Let it not be said that good things did not come to those who take. I do wonder why it is you are messing with post office workers, the profession famous for having breakdowns and shooting up their workplace, just with the regular stress of doing their job. It's called going postal. As much as we'd like to think of going postal as a staff member moving around the office delivering gifts, maybe muffins, to their co-workers, it's definitely not. Guys, this pandemic isn't a Bukowski poem. We aren't exploring the dark beauty of suffering and the crushing isolation of addiction. That isn't until Fringe 2021 and forever after. We are, after all, supposed to be in this together. While we're talking about workers' rights in Australia, an Australian court has ruled, in a ruling that I am both surprised and not at all surprised that it had to be said out loud, workers now have the legal right to go to the toilet and drink water while at work. The federal court was forced to decide the issue after the general manager of a McDonald's franchise made a Facebook post to a group of its crew members telling them the company had no obligation to let them go to the bathroom outside scheduled breaks, putting a terrible twist on the phrase trickle-down economics. Justice John Logan said that he had been unable to find any other Australian cases on the point and looked to a decision from the court in Ohio for guidance. Things are generally not good when you're forced to look to America for moral or workplace guidance. So thankfully, this has set a legal precedent for letting employees drink water. The judge said that it would be absurd for state workers' health and safety laws to require employees to provide bathrooms and drinking facilities but not let staff use them when they needed to within limits. Bosses shot back that they were also supplying them with oxygen supplies, but if they could, they'd limit their use to strict break times so that they could save on oxygen for people who are providing the money, not the sponges costing them the money. The restaurant is owned by Tantex, a McDonald's franchisee in Queensland that runs six restaurants, whose general manager told crew members at one store the company was doing its workers a favour by letting them use the bathroom because otherwise they could only do so during the rostered break, raging that they could easily provide them with empty water bottles or that they could wait until they finish their water as they can't go until they fill it up anyway and then use the empty bottles to do the much needed business. But they had best not get their wangs out too publicly in the workplace lest they be fired for indecent exposure. Listeners of this podcast will not be surprised to learn that the only reason this was brought to light was the union. That being the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union in this case. So please, be sure to join your union. And if your union is the SDA, I am very sorry in advance. And unfortunately, that is all the time that I've got this week. And we'll be finishing off there. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for hanging around until the end. Thanks for returning. And hopefully you enjoy this episode, the next episode, and all episodes forever after. If you've enjoyed the show, I don't know, leave us a review on iTunes. I found a nice review just the other day. It made me feel really good and made me feel like all this work was for something. So please leave us a nice review on iTunes or wherever you can leave reviews. Like videos if you're watching this on YouTube. And share it with a friend if you think you know someone who'd get a bit of a giggle out of this. I know we're all in need of a bit of a giggle at the moment. So share it around, Facebook groups, wherever. And enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. Look after each other. And we'll see you next time. Be sure to check out my festival shows. Please take the time to check out my festival shows. See ya.